Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
When Evan Ferguson scored a Premier League hat-trick for Brighton earlier this month, he was quickly talked about as a £100 million player and the saviour of Irish soccer. Imagine that. Now, he's only 18 years of age, but how can pressure like that affect a young person, and how can we nurture the potential rather than weigh them down with this expectation? My God. Well, the adolescent psychotherapist Colman Nocter is here with me to talk about it. Aren't you, Colman?
I am.
You are indeed. Okay. Now, we're not just talking about sports here. This is in all walks of life, right?
Yeah, I think one of the issues I would say, you know, we have a mental health crisis in children. Anxiety is through the roof.
Okay.
And when people ask me why that is, yes, there's social media, there's all that pressure, exposure, etc. But expectation is, for me, a huge issue. The expectation we have on children now bears no resemblance to what it did 5 years ago. And that's academic expectation. The worst thing sometimes a child can do is show a talent for something, because your parents are on it. You know, oh, he can swing a golf club, let's get him into this. Or, you know, if you, and lots of, we all think our children are brilliant. You know, we all think they're bright and clever and everything else. But the, we have to be careful we don't translate that into a mass of expectations. And like the idea of, I always say, like, you know, children don't send themselves to grinds, parents do. You know, children don't tend to put their hands up and want to go and pressure themselves into doing more and more. It tends to be parents. So from the point of view of, I think as parents, we need to kind of take a grip on it, but also the sporting culture and the academic culture primarily needs to calm down a little bit. I think we've lost the run of ourselves when it comes to that.
What an opener. Oh my God. Okay. I'm just thinking of myself, because I do a lot of structured activities with my kids. But play is so important as well, isn't it? Just the freedom and the headspace to play.
Yeah, and play, I think, is one where I think fun is probably what we're missing out on. Do you know? So we all see everything we do as an investment in our children. So I'm going to send you to the Gael School so you can get your A in your Irish. I'm going to send you to music lessons so you can get points in your leaving. I'm going to send you.
I think a lot of parents do. I mean, and then there's a lot of parents that just want to keep them out of trouble and want to keep them busy.
Yeah, no, there is the busyness, but if you. Let's say you sign your child up to something and they show potential. Now, I work with adolescents all the time. The word they hate the most is potential.
Okay.
You're not using your potential. You're wasting your potential. Nobody uses their full potential all the time. Like, that's an unrealistic expectation of anybody. So, but the idea around where parents vicariously live their own sporting life through their child.
Or the moms.
Moms, or yeah. Pushing through. You know, and again, the issue of we can't make children study. You know, you can nag them all you want, but it's up to them to do it. And, you know, in terms of when you look at elite sports, most of that happens outside of training and scheduling. If you're going to be an elite sportsman, you do that in your own time. It's a self-motivated thing that you kind of buy into. But what we think, I think, is we can corral children into that, or, you know, almost. And I can remember, like, one girl, she was a swimmer, and you know, she got to 16 and kind of didn't want to be in a pool at 5 o'clock in the morning anymore on a Saturday. And her dad was kind of really invested in the club, and she said, "I can't. My dad would have nothing to do if I gave up swimming. You know, it's almost, I'm doing it for him." And she began to throw races. She would swim slower just to try and get that pressure off her.
Wow.
And even, like, you see it, like, young lads playing in a Division 3 county semi-final or something, and the whole parish is saying, "Good luck on Saturday now, good luck." These kids are 12, you know. So the idea of, we as adults are almost creating that. And what is happening is, I think, children's activities are much more adult-led. Adults are much more involved. You bring adults into anything, competition goes up and fun goes down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And so from the point of view of how do we, and it is, you know, you want to keep up with the parish next door. If they're training 3 nights a week, we have to train 3 nights a week. And, you know, so the idea of it's imposing adult standards on children's activities. And I just think that's yes.
Well, you've seen it. You've said
we have all the time.
A crisis in mental health in adolescence.
Don't get me wrong. Sport and things like that have saved children's lives. I've absolutely seen people who said, "That coach got me off a track. I was on the way and they really helped me." I've also seen sport ruin children's lives from the point of view of that pressure. And, you know, if you think about the problems of children's sports, they're all adult problems, Jen. We're not saying there's 2 9-year-olds knocking the heads off each other in a match. We're saying parents are encroaching on referees, they're giving abuse, that sort of stuff. And, you know, most people who work in children's sport will say the kids are no problem. It tends to be the parents that is the issue, do you know? And I do think, you know, and I speak for myself, I'm that one of that generation. There is a kind of a pressure of be all that you can be. But sometimes we need to just have a bit of crack as well. And I think that's the bit that we miss out on. And certainly when it comes to sports and academics, a little bit of that.
Is language very important? You know, how we speak to our kids when they're doing an activity, you know, after a match, after a game.
Well, think about it. Any child comes off a pitch or has been playing, you ask 2 questions. Did you win? Did you score? Right. And that's like right from the off, you're saying these are the things I value. I don't say, did you enjoy it? Did you get better at it? You know, children play sport to meet their friends, mm-hmm. to learn a new skill. And to have fun.
It seems initially that's what happens and that's why they do it, and then it goes into
and
this competitive.
I think there are some children who are kind of ego driven. They want the medals and prizes, and those are the children who probably will accede to the elite pathways, and there should be a pathway for those children,
okay.
for sure. But not everyone has to go with that elite pathway. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes in sporting cultures, the voice that determines the culture is the loudest voice, and the loudest voice is oftentimes the most competitive one. Do you know what I mean? So from the point of view of everyone else must row in. But when we look at the statistics, like Evan Ferguson is 0.00001% of the children playing sport in Ireland. But why does the system set up for that 0.00, you know, in terms of like the idea of, and I think it's a commitment issue as well, train on Tuesday, Thursday, match on Saturday, right? That's the minimum requirement for anyone playing sport. If you want to play sport and you don't want to do that much of it, where do you go? You know, like there's no five-a-side culture for teenagers where they can go and turn up on a Wednesday, kick a ball around and come home. It's a commitment issue. And if you're playing another sport, if you miss training, you get dropped and all this sort of stuff. Like there's an impact on that in terms of, and we wonder why children drop out of sport at 13, 14 years of age. We have one menu of options, which is high commitment, high competition when you're 14, 15, 16 years of age, and the rest of them, you know, find something else.
They do. Mm. Speaking of Evan Ferguson, that's a really mad example because he's actually already surpassed the dreams of so many. But how can we take care of young people who strive for success and actually just don't get there?
Yeah, again, I think the idea of, you know, we need to feed children adversity at a pace that they can manage. Do you know what I mean? That's the task of parenting, is to step back and allow your child surmountable stress. So it's not about having a stress-free life. It's about giving them the amount of stress that they can manage. And then they build frustration tolerance. They build success. They build skill sets. What we do is we kind of spare. And then a hit of disappointment comes. They get dropped from a county panel or something like that. And the children become devastated by this, because they're not emotionally or socially able to manage a commitment at that level. Do you know what I mean? You know, children crying before tournaments, you know, children mm-hmm. in floods of tears, you know, after losing a penalty shootout, that sort of stuff. That reminds us that they're children. Do you know what I mean? So from the point of view of, we need to drip feed that level of disappointment, because childhood is a period of disillusionment. When I'm 4, I think I'm Spider-Man. When I'm 8, I'm kind of curious that other people think they're Spider-Man, and when I'm 12 I realise I'll never be Spider-Man. You know, that's the process. So how we introduce that reality has to be paced, and sometimes I think we introduce it too quickly or too abruptly, or the gear changes too clicky. So it's about, you know, it's not about having a disappointment free life. It's about giving the child the level of disappointment that they can manage, and that means that the elite environments needs to wait until they're able for that level of disappointment rather than introducing it too early. Mm.
What would you say to parents who think, oh, if they were, you know, upset for a tournament or a game, whatever, and they went out and played, that it builds resilience? What about parents?
Yeah,
who say that?
I think there's a resilience myth. I think the idea of, you know, the harder your life is, the more resilient you become is nonsense. I think the idea of the more resilient you are, the better you'll cope with the adversity in your life. The resilience comes first, the adversity comes second. If you tear your calf, your physio doesn't go run 5K on it and it'll fix. You know, it says you rest it and you recover, and your kind of pre-injury fitness determines your recovery. So there are children who have a good sense of self, a good value on what's important and what's not, and they tend to be resilient, so they manage adversity better. than children who don't. But this idea of, you know, make children walk to school with no shoes on and carrying a bag of coal on their back and they'll be fine, that's not going to work either.
What advice have you got for parents? Because we're speaking about adolescent potential problems, but parents, we need to talk to them. So what would you say to parents who have kids who want to be in the elite group and who want to strive for success in the football, in the guy, on stage? What would you say to the parents of how to manage that delicately?
It's about enabling them to do that without the pressure. Like, it's not saying I'm driving to Donegal to do a race today, you better get a medal if I'm driving 4 hours up there. You know, this sort of stuff, that's not the message you have to give. But the idea of, if this is what you want and this is what you value, we'll support you with it. But it's not the be-all and end-all. And if you are a parent who is, and who's the pushy parent, you know, I'll remind you of, you know, Earl Woods, Tiger Woods' dad, or Mike Agassi, or these kind of pushy parents.
Yeah.
For every one example of those, there's 100 kids who don't speak to their parents and hate sport because of that approach. So, you know, we all think that that's the way to go. I'm going to go do that. Hold a mirror up. If you are that parent who is tending to push, ask your child, do they still want to do it? Because I've seen so many kids who play for a year or two beyond what they want for fear of disappointing either a community or a parish or parents, because they want them to keep going, or it's that it's become so much a big part of their lives that that's the issue. And, you know, involvement is great, but it's back to that idea of, I don't encourage under-involvement. You should be interested in your child's activities, but, you know, if you can't miss a training session and you're discussing it for 20 minutes on the way home,
that's the line.
That's the line, you know.
Coleman, thank you so much. That was really interesting stuff and food for thought for sure. There we go. That was adolescent psychotherapist Coleman Nocter on how potential can be a problem if we don't take care of that person.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.